bring the word today, so I'm going to have him lead us in reading the scripture.
All right, our first scripture reading is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then our New Testament reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, well, David snuck the Lord's Prayer in there a little ahead of time, so I was a little off guard. Well, as David said, Pastor Peter is out of town, and so when the opportunity to preach came up, I asked if I needed to preach on a specific topic, and he said, no, you can preach on whatever you feel, but make sure that you're preaching from the scripture and that it's scripturally based. And so I said, okay, I can do that. Anxiety, worry, concern, these are topics that have been a part of my life for a long time. I am the son of a worrier. Throughout her life, my mother had always struggled with worry. Worry is something that I inherited from my mother. I've always said that if I didn't have anything to worry about, then I'd worry about that. Worry's always been a struggle for me, and it's affected many parts of my life. So this morning, I'm preaching to myself, and you can just listen in as well. First of all, I wanted to say, boy, is there something missing here? This is kind of neat. I was always worried that whoever was up here preaching would knock it over, and that would not be fun. But yeah, it's let me just step back here. It's really great to be able to see all of you without the scratch plexiglass in front. So let me get back to this. So what is worry and anxiety? Worry tends to be more focused on thoughts in our heads, while anxiety is more of a visceral feeling that we feel throughout our bodies. When we worry about something, our worrisome thoughts are often caused by realistic or specific problems or events. Anxiety, on the other hand, turns us in on ourselves and our own problems. We shrink inward, weighed down by the burdens that we were not meant to carry. Both worry and anxiety can affect our health and our relationships with others and with God. Worry is more of a temporary, mild form of anxiety, while true anxiety produces more intense, long-term effects. Scientists have shown that anxiety can lead to fatigue, headaches, irritability, trouble sleeping, breathing problems, heart disease, digestive issues, acid reflux, and cancer. Our last year dealing with COVID has provided many examples of concern, worry, and anxiety. When COVID hit, while walking through a store, I would often check the aisles for cleaning products, face masks, hand sanitizer, bread, yeast, flour, paper towels, and even toilet paper. Early on, I would buy whatever I could, whenever I could, when items were in stock. I was stuck in anxious thoughts about running out of paper towels or hand sanitizer. Then after a few months, even though I knew I had enough items, I would still pick up a few things here and there. I was worried that things would become scarce again. So if you need anything, let me know. Another example, perhaps, of concern and worry and anxiety would be our mask wearing. When we are concerned, we thoughtfully think, okay, I'm in a crowded area, I should put my mask on. Worry is stressing over where your mask is. Anxiety is wearing your mask alone in your own car. Before I start, let me say that oftentimes we use the words worry and anxiety interchangeably, even though, as we can see, there is a definite difference. You'll undoubtedly hear me use both words this morning, much as different translations of the Bible use one word or the other. In talking with Pastor Peter about this sermon, he said they both sort of relate to the idea of a dog gnawing on a bone. A lot of activity, but nothing much is really accomplished. The Gospel of Matthew groups Jesus' teachings into five discourses, of which the Sermon on the Mount is the first and the longest. Matthew sets the Sermon on the Mount near the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. After being baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He then learns that John has been arrested and returns to Galilee. There he begins to preach the same message that John did: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then in Galilee, Jesus gathers his disciples and begins to attract a wider following. News of his ministry spreads throughout the area, including not only the Galilee, but also in Syria, the Decapolis, the Transjordan, and in Judea. The Sermon on the Mount is the first unique teaching of Jesus, distinct from the message already proclaimed by his forerunner, John. Seeing the crowds, he walked up a mountainside and sits down. It is not the crowds that Jesus is addressing, but his disciples. And by extension, he is addressing us. Indeed, some commenters indicate that Jesus seems to have gone up the mountain not to gain a better platform from which to speak to the audience, but to escape those who he had seen and were attracted by his healing ministry, so that he might address his disciples in private. Now, there are no actual mountainsides in this part of Galilee, but there are several prominent hills in the region. And so perhaps the Sermon on the Hill would be a more apt topic or term. The Sermon on the Mount has three main keys, or themes, rather. First, allegiance must be given to God and God's kingdom rather than to money or possessions. Secondly, seeking God's kingdom is the highest priority. And third, trusting God displaces worry about our daily needs. The first verse, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" The command, "do not be anxious," does not imply a complete lack of concern, nor does it call people to be unwilling to work and care for their own needs. Instead, Jesus was continuing to highlight kingdom priorities, the attitude towards life that the disciples should exemplify. They should not worry. They should not be overly concerned about food or clothing, because they should know that God will care for them. Food and clothing should never take priority over serving God. God sustains our lives and has given us our bodies. We can trust him to provide the food and clothing that he knows that we need. When we worry over a lack of food or inadequate clothing, we immobilize ourselves and focus on the worry. When we worry, we refuse to trust that God can supply our most basic needs. Worry immobilizes us, but God moves us into action. But trusting God moves us into action, I should say. Worry provides the temptation to distrust God and to substitute fear for practical action. Worry means focusing our attention on what we cannot change instead of putting our energies into working in effective ways. Jesus made it clear that worry takes away from life rather than adding anything to it. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Birds are dependent upon God's daily provision because they cannot grow, they cannot prepare, they cannot store their food. They work. They look for food, and they bring it back to their families. But they don't worry. If God cares for the birds, making sure that the natural order of his creation will supply them their food, how much more is he willing to feed a hungry human? Jesus was not prohibiting his followers from sowing, reaping, and gathering, but he was speaking against worrying about the result of their work, not having enough food. All that we have ultimately comes from God's hand, along with what we share with others, out of the abundance that he has given us. Whether we have little or much, God provides for our needs. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? This question is one we ought to ask ourselves every day. Each day we face new challenges. We face new concerns, new problems, and choices. Will worrying be of any help at all? No. On the contrary, worry damages our health. Worry consumes our thoughts. Worry limits how productive we are. Worry negatively affects the way we treat others. And in the end, it reduces our willingness to trust God. The ill effects of worry may in fact reduce the span of our lives rather than adding to it. Worry is of no earthly good to us at all. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven or into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? As in verse 26, Jesus was not suggesting laziness. Instead, he wanted his disciples to place their lives and needs into God's hands and refuse to worry about basic needs. To worry about our needs shows little faith in God's ability to supply. If he feeds the birds and clothes the flowers in beauty, how much more will he care for us? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Therefore, because God feeds the birds, and because he clothes the flowers and the plants of the earth, and because he cares for us so much more, do not worry. Do not expend energy fretting over what you will eat or drink or wear. Worry has no place in the lives of Jesus' disciples. It is the Gentiles, or the unbelievers, who seek after these things and worry over them. Unbelievers are those who have no relationship with God and who therefore have no concept of God's love and the care that he has for them. They have no reason to focus their energies elsewhere. Jesus' followers have a favored relationship with God and a promise that their heavenly Father knows that they need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. As Jesus' followers, we must settle this question of priorities. They must be different for us than for non-believers whose priorities are comfort, security, money, fashion, and other worldly things. Jesus' followers are called to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The word seek is a command to fulfill a continuing obligation. To seek the kingdom means both to submit to God's sovereignty here and now and to work for the future coming of his kingdom. To seek his righteousness means to seek to live as God requires. To focus on seeking these things first calls for a total commitment to loyalty, it means to turn to God first for help, to fill our thoughts with his desires, to take his character as our own, to serve and obey him in all things. Too often we seek other things first, such as objects, goals, money, people, power, position, recognition. If we allow it, any of these things can bump God out of first place in our lives. We must actively and daily choose to give him first place in every aspect of our lives. Strangely enough, when we get our priorities right, Jesus promises that all these things, all these other things, will be added to us. So the question is, how can we remain undistracted by materialistic pursuits? We have to work, shop, provide for the needs of our children, drive to church, pay taxes, We live in a world surrounded by the needs to get things. Should we just leave it all and live a monastic life? If there is no middle ground, how do we do both? Seek the kingdom and provide for our needs. Oftentimes, we try to set a sequence or priority for every aspect of our lives, determining how much time and attention we will spend on each area, how much time for work, how much time for recreation, how much time for meals, how much time for worship, how much time for prayer, how much time for reading God's word. Rather, we should remember our highest priority to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then as we go through our day, we are constantly and continually seeking his kingdom in our work, in our recreation, during our meals, in our worship, in our prayer, and in our reading of Scripture. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Because God cares for his people's needs, we don't need to worry about what may happen tomorrow. What we worry about happening tomorrow may not even ever happen. So we only have wasted time and energy on worrying. We need to save that energy for dealing with today. We only add to today's burden when we also worry about tomorrow's problems. Worrying about what may happen tomorrow will not change the outcome. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying is time wasted and gone, never to return. Those who plan carefully think ahead about goals, steps, and schedules, and then trust in God's guidance. Careful planning can help alleviate worry. On the other hand, worriers are constantly consumed by fear, which makes it difficult to trust God. They let their worry interfere with their relationship with God. I have 2 points for application. The first, Jesus calls his followers to an allegiance to God's kingdom rather than to material possessions, wealth, and worrying about the needs of daily existence. This passage provides wisdom for us as followers of Jesus as it relates to wealth and possessions. Worry can consume all of us, no matter our economic status. It is easy to worry about not having enough, as well as worrying about maintaining what we do have. For those who are more well off, one powerful application of this passage is the freedom from wealth that it offers, where we are called to live a generous way of life that demonstrates our deep love and deep trust in God. And secondly, pursuing God's kingdom rather than being consumed by worry about daily needs requires a deep trust in God's goodness and his ability to care for those needs. This passage highlights the priority of seeking the kingdom. God has come to make all things right through Jesus, and Christians are to live in light of that and in line with the kingdom. Jesus tells us that the God who is bringing restoration is a God that we can trust in all parts of life and death. Seeking the kingdom first without a trustworthy God may seem foolish, but putting the kingdom as our highest priority in a relationship with a God who can be fully trusted is wisdom. Through Jesus' words and deeds, we are called into a deeper trust in our Heavenly Father, who listens and cares and works for restoration with us. In ending, I have a couple little lists. The first is how to seek the kingdom. Remember, our church is our extended Christian family. Serve it well. Give of your energy and your time. Eagerly tell people how much Jesus means to you personally. Direct your work towards projects and purposes that God would approve of. Keep promises made to family and friends. Show love to the people that God puts into your life. And here are seven reasons not to worry. The same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of your life. Worrying about the future hampers your efforts for today. Worrying is more harmful than helpful. God does not ignore those who depend on him. Worry shows a lack of faith in and an understanding of God. There are real challenges that God wants us to pursue, and worrying keeps us from them. And finally, living one day at a time keeps us from being consumed with worry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though it is hard, we turn our lives and our daily needs over to you. Father, help us to trust in you and your providence, your provision for our lives. Father, calm our hearts and our minds and free them from worry and from the effects of being an anxious or worrying person. Father, help us daily to lean on you and know that we can trust you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.